The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, MPs visit Aberdeen to hear evidence on helicopter safety. A report warns about the future of exploration drilling, and Shell's profits take a hit. But first, a North Sea oil platform was shut down last week because of the stormy weather. 75 workers were airlifted from the Buchan Alpha. The procedure started in advance of the bad weather setting in. Talisman Sinopec said normal operations would resume when conditions improve. Oil and Gas UK welcomed the latest licensing round for offshore exploration. The organisation says it hopes it'll act as a catalyst for an exploration revival on the UK continental shelf. They've added explorers cite access to rigs and equity capital as being major contributing factors in a recent drop in the number of wells drilled. The UK Energy Minister announced the 28th round last week. The owner of Scottish Gas this week warned unrest in Egypt is causing problems with their supply. BG Group announced it had to break contracts with some customers because it wasn't able to export enough natural gas from the country. The Egyptian government's ordered natural gas production to be diverted for domestic purposes. Production fell by around 15% in Egypt across 2013 as a whole. MPs this week heard calls for a full public inquiry into North Sea helicopter safety. The Westminster Transport Select Committee listened to evidence in Aberdeen from operators, offshore workers and union reps. They also toured operator headquarters and terminals at Dyce. Committee Chair MP Louise Elman told me there were serious accusations from the Unite Union during the evidence session.
We came to listen to what people had to say, and we have heard some conflicting views, and in particular about commercial factors, whether commercial factors are influencing safety levels. But we're in the middle of our inquiry, so we'll be contemplating on what we've heard. We've another session to have when we get back to the House of Commons. We'll be talking to the regulators and to the Minister, and it's at the end of our inquiry that we'll reach a conclusion.
In terms of some of the individual hearings, obviously you wanted a wide spread of opinion. Is it surprising that there are perhaps conflicting views on some issues?
I don't think it's really surprising that we are hearing conflicting views. We're talking to the industry itself, to manufacturers and to operators. We will be talking to regulators, so we would expect to hear different perspectives on something that is a very important matter of public importance.
Obviously concerns from workers about safety and that not enough is being done. Have you been reassured by what the firms and the operators have been saying to you today?
Well, we've listened to what they've said, and at the end of our inquiry we'll be considering what it all means and how we reach a judgment about conflicting views.
Where next for this investigation? We've heard evidence in Aberdeen today. What happens now?
We'll be holding our next session in London in the House of Commons. We'll be talking to regulators. We'll be talking to the Minister. We expect there will be an interim report for us to consider. And it's only after all of that that we'll decide what we think should happen next.
Obviously, some of the main issues have been the calls for a full public inquiry. You yourself, the Transport Select Committee, are investigating. The CAA are looking into it. The AIB themselves are looking into what caused the crash in August. Does there need to be, perhaps, some connection between the different investigations?
Well, there are a number of different investigations going on, and different organisations have different remits. And the Transport Select Committee decided to look at this because we thought it was an important matter of public policy. Of course, our remit isn't the same as those of the other investigators, but we do need to look at all of those in the round. We'll be looking at all the conclusions before we issue our verdict.
There was obviously some talk about commercial pressures. What do you see the concerns regarding that?
Well, we have heard concerns that commercial pressures might lead to cost cutting from the operators, and that could jeopardise safety, and that's why the questions on that very important issue were put to our witnesses today.
Do you feel that you perhaps got some answers in that regard, or will this be something you want to look into further?
Well, we heard what the people in front of us had to say, and it's only at the end of our inquiry we'll make an assessment. This is a very important issue. I'm very pleased we decided to come to Aberdeen. We've been able to see helicopter operations at first hand and talk directly to people involved in the sector, as well as listening to people who've come to our inquiry itself. So I think it's been a very constructive and informative day.
Robert Patterson from Oil and Gas UK says commercial pressures wouldn't be allowed to affect safety.
We were able to show that, you know, we are collaborating with the workforce. There are undoubtedly great concerns out there, but safety of helicopters remains our number one priority, and we are determined that that remains so.
The biggest concern seemed to be about commercial pressures. Do you feel like this is something that Oil and Gas UK have already dealt with? Are you addressing these concerns that safety is not sacrificed?
Well, safety is not under commercial pressure. Perhaps the margins are, but certainly not safety. We have to have long-term relationships with our helicopter operators. I don't believe anybody is jeopardising contracts by trying to push safety down. There's no evidence of that at all.
And in terms of, obviously, they heard concerns and they're the same cause for a full public inquiry. Remind us what you told the committee.
Well, there are a number of inquiries and investigations on the way at the moment, and several of those are going to report in the near future. Our position is that we should wait until those inquiries and reviews have completed. We've seen what the lessons are from them, and then perhaps a focused public inquiry later on is something we would support.
The claims from Unite were strongly denied by Bond, CHC and Bristow. The session came as the fatal accident inquiry into the 2009 Super Puma tragedy, in which 16 people died, continued at the townhouse. This week, air accident investigator Mike Jarvis described how the aircraft hit the water 3 minutes and 24 seconds after the gearbox failed. But he's admitted we may never know exactly what happened, because a key component was never found. Later in the week, an investigator told the hearing the crash was not survivable. The AAIB senior operations investigator Timothy Atkinson said the crew couldn't have prevented the accident when the gearbox fails. The inquiry is expected to continue for another fortnight.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
A major renewables event was this week held in Aberdeen. The biggest ever offshore wind and supply chain conference in Scotland began at the AECC on Tuesday and continued into Wednesday. It explored the various stages involved in the development of offshore green power and the current issues affecting the industry. The Robert Gordon University is holding a number of events in the coming weeks ahead of this year's annual remotely operated vehicle regional competition. Primary school pupils this week took part in an engineering activity day at Garthdee, which included learning how to build ROVs. There were also opportunities to learn about buoyancy experiments and wind tunnel construction. The number of new oil and gas fields in the North Sea has reached a five-year high. Deloitte this week said there was a jump of 44% last year, but there is concern over exploration drilling. That's dropped by a third, the lowest it's been since 2003. Aberdeen's Energy Policing Service now has become a national centre of excellence. The unit responds to emergencies unique to the North Sea area, such as helicopter incidents, with officers specially trained to go offshore. It's now being given a new remit since the merger of police forces to a single service. The new North Assistant Chief Constable, Campbell Thompson, toward North Sound, it'll allow teams across Scotland to have access to it.
We've known in the North East that we've built up a very positive relationship with the oil industry. We understand that we have a community out in the North Sea, and what we want to do is to build on the learning, the experience, the expertise, the partnership working, and ensure that that's accessible across the whole of the Police of Scotland.
A report this week called for the oil market to be overhauled to stop the volatility of prices. The study from Oxford University argues futures speculators are exacerbating the already excessive volatility of oil and damaging global growth prospects. It was this week announced profits at Shell have fallen by nearly a half in the final quarter of 2013. The energy giant's new boss says more assets will be disposed this year to make the firm more efficient. Petroleum economics expert at Aberdeen University, Professor Alex Kemp, says the results reflect global trends.
Shell is an enormous international oil company, and so their results reflect trends currently taking place in the oil industry worldwide. So what are these? First of all, on the upstream side, cost inflation has been very strong over the last few years because there has been a lot of investment around the world in very, very expensive capital projects. And there have been scarcity of employees, a scarcity of equipment, and so on. So cost inflation has been high. and that's impacting on the operators, even with $100 oil. So that's one point. Second point, on the downstream, there is a problem, particularly in Western Europe, that refining and marketing is under great stress. Why is that? Well, at the moment, the oil price and the gas price in America is much below what it is in Western Europe. So although companies are not really allowed to export crude oil from America, the refiners in America can export products. So the refiners in America are buying relatively cheap oil in America and exporting petroleum products like diesel and gasoline to Western Europe. And so the refining and marketing business in Western Europe is under a lot of stress, particularly for those refineries which have to buy oil at least $10 higher price than the American refiners can do. There's the market is not functioning very well, partly because of the restriction on exports of crude from America. Next, with respect to the shale gas, which has now caused a major upsurge in production in America, the price there is really quite low, and the producers there are currently not doing so well. Again, there are restrictions on the export of gas from America, which hopefully will be overcome, but at the moment they are there, and they mean that producers of gas inside America are suffering. So a company like Shell, you know, has a substantial investment in gas production in America. So these are the kind of trends, and they're impacting in the North Sea as well, because recently, because of the cost inflation problem, Chevron announced that they were holding back developing the Rosebank field, and similarly the Bressay field has been delayed as well because of the serious cost inflation. So Shell's results reflect the trends within the industry worldwide. And short answer is that $100 oil is not necessarily all that good news for everyone in the oil business.
And so does that perhaps mean that if they're facing cost pressures elsewhere in the world, that the investment in the North Sea might have to be held back as a result?
Well, at the moment, as is well known, investment in new fields is extremely high because there's a handful of very, very big projects, very, very expensive projects going ahead underway. But we see that after this, in 2 or 3 years, there's a possibility that investment will fall quite a lot. And we've already got a signal in the major decline over the last 2-3 years in exploration. Because you could ask the question, well, $100 oil, shouldn't there be a lot of exploration taking place? But all the recent figures are showing there's not much exploration taking place. So the cost pressures are there for explorers and developers of fields. And so that's why we're getting results now indicating that $100 oil doesn't mean that everybody in the industry is doing well.
A Northeast specialist provider of subsea technology is expanding in South America. SUBC Engineering Limited says it signed a major agreement that will see the firm have an increased presence in the region. The Aberdeen-based company has partnered with a local market specialist to act as their representative in Brazil. They'll be providing blowout preventer personnel and subsea courses to other organisations there. An oil and gas firm this week opened its new state-of-the-art service facility in Aberdeenshire. Scott Valve Services HQ at Kintore has the region's largest gas testing pit, along with clad welding machines and workshops. And rounding off the week, the former chief executive of SSE has been appointed chairman of the Wood Group. Ian Marchant takes over from Alistair Langlands, who's set to retire in May after 23 years with the company. Mr. Marchant's been a director of the Aberdeen-based firm since 2006. Don't forget, for the latest news from the energy sector, tune into our special Energy Zone bulletins each weekday morning on North Sound during breakfast. And that's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.